Hey guys, welcome to 50 is a Mindfuck, and I'm Wendy Ortiz. And
you said the F word.
I did say the F word. I say the F word a lot.
I'm not going to say it.
You can.
Thank you. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's my friend Brian, and we work together professionally, but we are also friends and have great conversation, and appreciate you coming in today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. So Brian asked me several times, he's like, are we talking about?
What the hell are we talking about?
Yeah.
She made that face.
Yeah. And I go, just hold on. And very often when I talk to friends or people in my world, and some of you guys know I'm the world's best real estate agent in Arizona, so I have to pop that in there. But people will say something and I'll go, huh, that was really cool. And it was a 50-ism, like being over 50, the things that we experience in our world. So I'm going to start right in with you. And I want you to, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about you, not professionally.
Not professionally. All right. That makes me think about my wife and kids and dog.
Okay.
Probably in that order.
Are you sure? I've seen a lot of your dog.
Well, look, she's beautiful and she photographs well.
Your wife is beautiful.
I was talking about my wife.
I know.
I think of my family first. I got three kids. They're all 22 to 30.
Okay.
So they're adult kids.
Yep.
And they're all through it. You know, they're through the house and they're through college and moving into whatever direction they're going in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's me and Steph, and we've been methered. We've been married for 30, it'll be 34 years, I think, this year.
Blank. And it's 34 years.
Yeah. So I'm very lucky, very happy.
Yeah.
Professionally and personally.
Good.
Is that enough? Do you feel like you know me?
No, yeah, that was perfect. That was everything I needed to know. So one of the things that you said to me one day is a lot of times you guys, I talk about my mom who's 88 and very healthy and spicy. And I'm not even sure how we got in the conversation, but Brian mentioned to me that at the same time he had to put his mom and his wife's mom into assisted living. And I thought, holy shit. Like, there's so many questions that I have for myself and for him. And I wanted to chat with you about how that's affected your life and how that sort of, that's a big, you're not doing one, but you're doing two.
Well, luckily they're different. Because one of them's easier than the other one.
Yeah.
But it really makes you grow up quick. And I think, I don't know, when you have kids, you definitely feel like, okay, I'm not the kid anymore. But you still feel like it in some ways.
Sure.
In the things that you do and the way, you know, the way you have fun with your friends and all that stuff. It's, you just feel like who you've always been. But when your parents go from being parents to kind of reverting, you know, and now they're who you have to take care of. It really just kind of accelerates the I'm an adult now process.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or I have another child process.
Yeah.
It's a
I
very
laugh a lot. I laugh a lot to mask the pain.
Yeah. Well,
but it's, I think you have to, you know, so I don't know how much you want to know. How much you want to know?
I really want to know a lot. I want to know the nitty gritty. I really do. I think this is part of our world, and it's dirty. And I talk about this in my intro. It's dirty. It's hairy. It's.
I'll start.
Yeah.
When my dad was alive, he passed away, which means he died in 2019, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to go visit him in Omaha. That's where I'm from. And we were talking and hanging out at the kitchen table because that's all you do when you're in Omaha. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad said to me, and he gave me this look like, he goes, she's losing it about my mom. And I remember my reaction was like, that's your problem. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Right.
You're her husband. You're my dad. I mean,
right.
And he's like, no, really, she's losing it. I'm like, okay, well, good luck. And then I flew back to Arizona.
Yeah.
And then when he passed away, I remember the doctor said, you know, they say after someone loses a spouse, shouldn't make a whole lot of changes. You know, just let it be for a while. And so we let it be for a while. And then her doctor was talking to me and my sister, and my sister lives here in Arizona too. And he said, all right, I just evaluated your mother and she needs to move closer to you immediately.
The I word.
I said, immediately? And he immediately just emphasized the shit out of it.
What year was this after your dad passed?
It was probably 2020.
Oh, okay. Wow.
2020, 2021. And then, and so we're like, okay. So we moved her out and the Alzheimer's process goes through what I remember the beginning was kind of the cute phase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, they're forgetting. Oh, they're old. They're forgetting. They're forgetful. They're repeating themselves. Roll your eyes. That's cute because they're old and they're cute. Yeah. And then, then it evolves into something a whole lot different that's not cute anymore. And so that's where we're at now. You know, she's in the final stages of her Alzheimer's. And I remember throughout, it's been 4 years. And it gets worse, it'll go a little worse. And then all of a sudden it's like off a cliff and it just gets bad.
Was she living with you until she wasn't living with you?
She's always lived in a senior care facility.
Since moving back here.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she needed, we didn't trust her, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She couldn't drive. She's dependent. Mm. So what was I going to tell you? This is the part you'll cut out.
No, nope, leave it in.
She was getting worse. And I remember throughout that getting worse part, people would ask me about her, like, you know, how's your mom doing? Which I never enjoy that question, but they asked, does she still remember you? And I remember thinking, of course, like, how would she not remember me? I've been her son for 58 years.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
She remembered me until she didn't know. She didn't know anything.
Yeah.
It's like scrambled eggs. So yeah, now she doesn't remember me. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know who she is. It's just, it's almost like a vegetable.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's shocking.
I'll probably cry. I think we had this conversation when the first time I had some incident with my mom, but, we were talking and you said, I felt like it was the first time she didn't remember you, and you were just like, how did that hit you?
The thing that really hit me was, it wasn't so much that she didn't know who I was. She became a completely different person. And I didn't know it until, you know, nobody really studies up on this. You just kind of learn it as you go, what it's all about. And apparently there's a stage where they get violent.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Aggressively violent.
Great.
And so my mom is, you know, she's every mom. She's a sweetheart. She's always smiling. She's always sweet. And to see her telling the nurse to get the fuck out of here and you're a fucking bitch and trying to break her fingers off. And I'm like, oh, mom,
yeah.
What the hell? And it was shocking.
Yeah.
Never seen that in my whole life. And so, yeah, it just turns into something that's just not real. And the only thing that now that I'm kind of at this part of it, I feel like she's gone. She's been gone. And mm-hmm. so the grieving part that you would experience when you lose someone.
You had a chance to journey.
I've been doing it for a couple of years. So now it's kind of like, honestly, and it feels weird to say this, but let's get going. Yeah. Let's get there.
My friends and I talk about that a lot. Like, it's to say your truth because it, I mean.
Well, the other thing I learned recently is maybe over the last couple of years, we've had friends who have had parents, and some of those friends wouldn't go visit their parent. And me and Steph would talk about it. We're like, well, I don't know how you cannot go visit. Like, how do you not? Now I know.
Yeah.
And it's easy because they're no longer that same person.
And did you feel like there's also the no longer that person, but also like I can use myself as an example, is so unpleasant that sometimes you stay away from it because it's so hurtful?
It's
Was that part of it for you or no?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hurtful. It's hard. It's not fun. It's not the same person. It's not even a person.
Yeah.
All those things. So then the a week later, you're like, hey, let's go back. Let's do that again. No.
No,
it's not a good time.
I'm sitting here thinking 6 years is, this is truly my first rodeo. I'm not where you're at, and you're way ahead of where I'm at. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, once she was in there in 6 years, wow, 6 years is a long time. I don't know. How long are you supposed to be in there once you get diagnosed? I don't know. But then I was curious, like, with that alone, before and besides your wife's mom going in, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that in a minute, did that affect your marriage or you and your wife's relationship at all?
Kinda. Mm-hmm. You're talking about my mom?
Yeah, the transition.
Yeah, a little. I mean, not like I'm not saying, oh my God, you know, we had such a hard time. No, mm-hmm. but did it have an impact? Of course.
Sure.
I didn't, for a while, I didn't understand why Steph wouldn't come with me to go visit my mom. And like an idiot, every week I would ask, you want to come? She's like, no.
And you weren't an idiot. You were hopeful, probably.
I was a hopeful idiot.
Yeah.
But so yeah, there was it played a part, but it's a different relationship, you know? I mean, as much as when you're married to someone, you may love their parents, but not in the same way that they love their parents.
It's not your parent. Right.
So it had an impact, but it wasn't a problem. It's just like, okay, this is different. I don't like it. You know, I don't like that you don't want to come with me. I don't like that I have to go alone. I don't like going.
Yeah.
I don't like not going. I don't like any part of it.
It all feels so crappy. It's a crappy ass feeling. Every bit of it, right?
It's a great episode.
So then how long after that did Steph's mom?
Steph's mom was roughly a couple of years after my mom.
Okay.
But my mom went in.
So you're a pro.
Yeah, I'm a pro. But my mom went in with assisted living, okay?
Okay.
And then she graduated to memory care.
Okay.
My mother-in-law went in independent living, just like, hey, I don't want to live alone anymore.
Okay, by choice?
By choice.
Yeah, okay, good.
She had lived alone for 9 years, and finally we're like, come on, you know, you're in a big house all by yourself. You should get out.
How old are the ladies?
My mother-in-law just turned 88.
Okay.
And my mom's 80, almost 85.
Okay, got it.
So my mother-in-law went in independent, then needed some, what do they call it? Assisted living. Mm, and that's
graduation.
Where she's at.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, she's doing okay. Comparatively, she's great.
And then do you guys go visit her a lot?
I do.
Yeah.
I go visit.
I go.
I do. I do both.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, you have to. Like, how can you visit one mom and then leave? So.
Right.
But it's honestly, I do the hard part first and then I go visit the easy one.
One of the things that really struck me after this, that whole subject was, and this is where, again, I don't know this, is that the expense of not only having one, but two, what does that look like?
This was interesting. So before my mom went into senior living, I had an impression that I think a lot of people have, which is, oh my God, this is going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
But when we looked at the budget of what my mom was spending in Omaha, mm-hmm. and compared it to what she'd be spending in a senior place here in Arizona, it wasn't that different.
Okay.
Because when you move into a senior living place, you may not have a car. So there's no more car payment. There's no more insurance payment. There's no more gas. There's no more maintenance. There's no more utilities. There's no more food. There's mm-hmm. no more shopping. There's no nothing.
Mm.
And so there was this one bigger rent bill, mm-hmm. but everything else was gone. And so, you know, if her budget in Omaha was like, I don't know, let's say $4,000, $4,500 a month.
Yeah.
If she moved out here, it was like $5,000.
And is anything covered through her Medicare?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Okay.
A lot of it. But it's not uncommon. And I've talked to a lot of people who've kind of gone through this and, you know, they start out at, let's say $5,000. And then, you know, the sicker they get, the more care they need and mm-hmm. the more they're going to be spending. And so it's not it's not unusual to end up getting at 10 grand. I know some people are at 14, 15 grand a month. That's where it gets, you know, like you can't take it for granted. You have to have a plan.
Right. And well, what is that? That is a what is that plan? Like,
my dad planned. And so he had a nest egg, which will pay for my mom to live as long as she's going to live.
Okay.
So that was his planning, and he did a good job of that.
Great.
And if he didn't, then we would have to. And I have friends who they have to take care of.
They do. Yeah, they do it.
I have friends who can't afford to put their parents in a thing, and so they're doing it. And that's bad stuff.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, guys, welcome back with my friend Brian talking about having two moms, not just one, but two.
You got to explain that.
I do because that's a, I do because I feel like, because when you told me, I was like, and this is going to lead into this cost conversation because I think, it's a fearful conversation of cost. Like this
it's not as expensive. Here's the other thing. Like there's a conversation, a national conversation about how expensive, you know, healthcare is, right?
Sure.
And it is for me and for you.
Right.
Because the stuff we need is not covered by anything. But once you get over, what is it, 60-something?
Shut your whore mouth. It's coming up quick.
Wow. You can really put a stop to my
But look at how...
But once you get to the age where you're
retirement age
covered by Medicare.
Yeah.
There's not much else that my mom has to pay for.
I didn't know that.
And so it's been a little bit of a relief, like that fear of, oh my God, what's it going to cost to just go to the doctor and do all the things? That's the least of our concerns.
See, that really surprises me because in my head this whole time before our conversation, I was expecting you to say, wow, you know, Steph and I have to pay $14,000 a month.
It depends on what their needs are. Like, you know, I know a lot of people who, you know, have had cancer and they have to go through cancer treatment. And that whole process can be financially devastating. Mm-hmm. But when you're at an age where a lot of that stuff is covered by Medicare, it's less devastating. So yeah, that's one learning that I think it's not as bad as it is for us.
I that's a huge epiphany for me today. I expected a much different answer. So with Steph's mom and same thing, basically it's covered.
Yeah.
It's just all covered.
Yeah.
So that leads me to my next question is, so for you and Steph, did you plan accordingly or are you now planning accordingly?
For what?
When you lose your marbles.
Well, it's happening.
I know.
actually, here's a fun story. Yeah. So I haven't seen my mom in a couple of weeks. And I was just wondering, because, you know, I'm wondering how she's doing. So I call up Brookdale and I'm like, hey, is Donna there? And they're like, there's no Donna here. There's a Shelly or whatever, Shauna. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, her. I want to talk to who's in charge of the, you know, memory care, blah, 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 blah. My mom hasn't lived at Brookdale in like 3 years. That was the old place. She lives at Clearwater now. And I forgot because my brain is mush. That happened today.
Brookdale, are you listening?
Brookdale, I'm so sorry. But
was
the question?
Based on what you've experienced and what your dad already put into place, did you have a plan before all this? You even knew about what you know now? And if you didn't, how are you planning that for you guys? And we know things are changing in healthcare in general.
Yeah. I can't say that I have a good plan for if this disease were to happen because there's really no, they're slowing it. Mm-hmm. There's no reversing it. There's no,
right.
I don't think there's any stopping it. So no, I don't have a plan. I did talk to my doctor last year and he said, you know how, this will make you feel good. He said, you know how in the last year or two, all those semiglutides have come on market and they've gone from kind of what's this weird thing and why are people doing it to now everybody's doing it.
You know? The GLPs.
And mm-hmm. and all the benefits that come along with it. It has accelerated itself to market and done really, I think, a lot of really good things.
Yes.
He said, I expect the same kind of progress to be made with dementia. What's the other thing with the diabetes? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of diseases.
Diabetes 3. Yeah.
All I know is when he said he's expecting a lot of things to come on the market that are going to really help those diseases mm-hmm. in the next couple, 2-3 years.
Right.
I'm like, okay, good. That helps my plan because I don't know how to plan for this. I know how to plan for now mm-hmm. health-wise.
Yeah.
You know, I have medical insurance. I take care of myself. I do all those things. But I don't know how to plan for dementia.
You know, we have genetics and epigenetics, and we have things that are just out of our control. And, you know, we've heard that it skips generations, and then we've heard it doesn't skip generations, and we don't know. And there's testing to see if you're going to get it. And I think you're like so many of us that say, I don't know what I'm going to do. But in our defense, we also we're hearing about maybe the lack of Medicare, Medicaid that's going to be available, Social Security. Things are going to be changing for us by the time we're in our 80s. Also, there'll be self-driving cars, so we won't have our licenses taken away, I don't think, because we will have somebody else drive us. But I think a lot's going to change. But it is the unknown, and it is, I think it's a scary prospect. It's like, because if I may say, like, I woke up one day and I was 50. And then I know everyone on my social media is like, you think life goes fast. Wait between 60 and 70 is like a whoosh. And that scares me.
All right. This is a little dark, but...
dark away.
When you see someone, let's say your parent, that is going downhill and the question of quality of life comes up. Like, is there any... You know, your quality of life can decline and get worse. There's still some, but if it gets to the point where there isn't any, then the question is like, all right, well, what do you do about it? And, you know, there are some states that have, what do they call it?
Assisted
suicide, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that a lot because mm-hmm. I thought, all right, even if we had the conversation, like my wife and I had this conversation. She's like, yep, put a pillow over my head. If I get like that, just end it. Yeah. Like, okay, ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. Well, if I look at like my mom now, she's at a point where she has no quality of life. I can't make this decision for her. I don't know what she wants.
Right.
And even if hypothetically she said, yeah, let's end this. I don't know how to do
if
that.
If you could do that, yeah.
I don't know how to do it.
There's actually a gal that I follow, and she did that. She documented her story. Mm-hmm. It was riveting on the TikTok, which is really great. I'm an advocate for it, and I don't know how you make that decision.
It's hard, and so I don't know. That's the dark thoughts of, you know, when it gets to a point where it's no longer acceptable, that person who's sick can't make the decision.
I think what you have to say about that is so incredibly full of so much weight and nuance. And it's a true, true thought. I've talked to other people that are like, I wish my mom would just die. It's a hard thing to verbalize.
Yeah.
Or I wish my dad would just die.
Yeah.
Quality of life. I don't know if it's the best way to articulate the concept, but we know where we're headed with this, right?
Yeah. Everyone thinks about it when it gets bad. And so I don't know. Your question was, do you have a plan? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, then it's probably similar to mine. It's like, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, it'll be fine. And I think we're all sort of stumped, especially we're dealing with so much with our kids, our families, our parents, our bulldogs, and our sourdough. And the things that we enjoy, and time goes so quickly, and then we're like, oh yeah, I should have.
I mean, it's kind of cliche, you know, to say that you have to just live your life. And it's true. You have to make the most of it. You have to make the best of it. And when there's a day that comes that, you know, you start yelling at the nurses and trying to break their fingers, then it's done. Yeah. But until then, we just do our best.
You've given me great information today, because this the financial part of it, it's not what life's about, but it is a big part of what's coming for us. So you made that great you gave me great information on that today.
Okay, so to that same point, if you think about, like, a lot of people have health insurance that is, what do they call it when it's...
Cobra?
No. Like, no.
I'm on Cobra right now.
No. What the hell am I thinking of? It's when you have a hugely high deductible, catastrophic coverage.
Oh.
You have catastrophic coverage because the deductible is $7,000 because it keeps your premiums low, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the cost for, like, if I break my leg or whatever, it's mostly coming out of my pocket. And those expenses, when you have that kind of shitty coverage, it's not even really coverage, it's catastrophic coverage.
Right.
That's why it's so expensive now, is because we're bearing the cost of the front $7,000. Mm. But once you get to that age, whatever that age is, 64, 65?
I think it was just increased to 67.
Whatever it is, it does get easier. My mom and my mother-in-law have not seen any, I mean, they go to the emergency room. I never see a bill. I mean, it's just.
I've heard stories about where they put liens on your home. And this is truly, like, not fear mongering. I've seen it where people have had, like, the care home put a lien on the parent's home for their care. And I was like, that's that fear that you worry about. Like, what am I not doing right here?
I think, so if you had concerns, I think you should talk to some of these places like Clearwater, where my mom lives, and say, hey, you know, what can you tell me to help me understand how these people manage the cost of healthcare?
Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea.
If they tell you the same thing I'm telling you, then great. Then mine's not a you know, one-off.
That is a very good idea. I appreciate that. I'm going to look into that for sure. Yeah. And
call the right place. Don't call the wrong place.
I have a new candidate for you named Brian. Talk to me a little bit about how you and your wife, are you living life differently now, given, has this changed anything for how you're living now? I noticed you're traveling more. We talked a little bit about, like, you're like, it's not my favorite.
Yeah. I don't want to travel, but I will.
Yeah.
Because I want to be with my wife and she likes to travel. So, the kids are grown, so they're out.
Yep.
And we're here to take care of our parents. And we do that, but it doesn't have to happen every day. So we'll go to New York, visit my daughter, visit Steph's brother. Mm-hmm. We'll go to California, visit friends. We'll do things. It is freeing. And I remember when our last kid was out of the house, there was that, like, moment at the dinner table where we were looking at each other.
Yeah.
Like, it is quiet. What are we supposed to talk about?
Yeah.
And that lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, it's so nice. You get used to it.
Yeah.
You do. Assuming that you want to be with the person that you're with.
Sure.
And we do. So we really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm,
I suppose if you didn't have that relationship, it might be different.
You do have to get to know each other again.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. It just, like, there's no, you don't have all those interruptions that you had before. So, okay, guys, we are going to take a quick break. Okay, guys, we are back and
fun topics. Brian. Fun topics.
Fun. Let's see.
Let's bring Brian on and we'll talk about death. That'd be great.
Six. So happy. I know. Well, I think you've given a lot of really good insight too. There's a lot more to learn about this whole world. But all right, let's think about fun stuff. Let me think. Tell me what plans do you have? What do you see for the next 5 years for you and Steph?
Ooh, God. Okay. Here's something that happens. So when Steph's brother comes to town, he was here for a couple of days and we all went to dinner. And he lives in New York. He's lived in Madrid, Barcelona, somewhere over there in Spain. Traveled everywhere. He's retired. And every time he comes back, he tells Steph, you know where you got to go? And so he's like, he's poisoning my wife's mind about all these places we need to go. And last night at dinner, I heard that.
I call it nourishing, not poisoning.
No, it's toxic. I heard we have to go to Japan next year. And, you know, I'm just like, yeah, that's great. When are you leaving, Eric? When do you leave?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know why I started talking about that.
Fun things. I said, ask you what your next 5 years looks like.
Listen, I have so much fun doing what I want to do, which is on the weekends, I'll take Bentley to AJ's and we'll hang out and I'll journal in my little journal thing and write down the things I need to not forget, which is most things. And people will come by and say hi to Bentley and give her love. And it's great. Sometimes I'll walk there. Sometimes I'll walk back. And I love it. And I love having a blueberry scone with an iced tea. It's delicious.
So that you like your habit.
I love your structure and routine. Yeah. I love to get up and go for a walk. I love to work out. I love to just do all my things. So the idea of going somewhere, I hope some people will relate to this, but the process of getting to the vacation is stressful. You have to prepare.
Yeah.
When you come back from the vacation, you have to catch up on all the stuff, and that's stressful. When I'm gone, it's great, but it's the before and the after that's the challenge for me.
Got it.
So I enjoy doing my thing. I enjoy going to dinner with friends or family or anything with friends or family. I just enjoy people. I don't really need to go anywhere to do that.
Yeah. And does Stephanie have a passion to travel?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She's going to Chicago for a 40th thing. And she's going to New York to see people. Mm-hmm. And she's going to go on a girl's trip. She's going to do all these things. She's got she's not even here during August.
I love it.
So she does enjoy that. I will do it because I'll be with her and I'll enjoy being with her. But mm-hmm. I enjoy being with her here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's good.
I think I'm the only one. I don't know many people that are like, yeah, I don't really want to go anywhere either.
No,
I think
my husband couldn't be more thrilled to death to not leave the house.
He sounds brilliant.
He is a nester. Mm-hmm. Nester and a routiner.
I like him.
I mean, and that's
maybe we should be friends.
Yeah. That sounds like the opposite, you know.
I'll get his number from you. Next time you're gone and Steph's gone, we'll hang out.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm a big solo traveler, so, but I have just this yearning to see more because I can.
Does that change your relationship with your husband?
No.
No?
No.
He says, you do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's a confident person.
With peace and love, he has no choice. I mean that respectfully. I'm at a space in my life where I'm going.
Yeah, but he still could struggle with it if he was not who he is. And if he's not struggling with it, then nice.
True. But it works out for him too because he's got a quieter nest and nobody's asking him to do anything. But it works out fine. You're right. It could be a conflict and, you know, I'm fortunate in that respect, but that's not a passion that I had before. It didn't even occur to me, but there was no question. Nobody was going to get in my way of going to Japan alone.
Well, you know what I do enjoy in the summer? We'll go to the shore at Sea Isle City, New Jersey, and I'll be with 16 or 17 other Yampolskis, and we're in two houses and we have a blast. It's so much fun. But that's because I'm with family.
Yeah.
And I love it.
That's familiar.
I'm going to New Jersey for a vacation. That's not what people usually think of, but it's fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So 5 years, family, your son just got married.
Yep. He's been married for a little over a year. Mm-hmm. He's working with me. His wife is a family therapist, marriage and family therapist, I think is what it's called. And she's done great. She's opened up her own practice, so good for her. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter lives in New York, and she's doing great. She works a job that enables her to live in New York and pursue theater, which is what she loves.
Good.
And then my youngest, Jack, just graduated from college. So he's doing an internship and trying to figure out, you know, where do I want to live and what do I want to do? And so I talked with him a couple of weeks ago about money. I had the money talk.
Oh, money.
And so I asked him, I said, do you have a budget? Because I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. He's like, a what?
He said, I don't need a budget. I don't make any money yet. I'm like, great. Let's start there. And so we built a budget, like estimated, here's what I think you'll need for this and this and this and this. And now the thought of him renting a place has some context. He's like, okay, well, that's expensive. Yeah. If you don't make enough money, then it would be. So you got to make some money, honey.
I say, and well, in my family, you know, older kids, bigger kids, bigger problems. You know, bigger kids, bigger consequences for sure. But, well, I have to say thank you for opening up on not dark, they're not dark subjects. They're important subjects because we can ostrich for sure, but they're common whether we like it or not. And I appreciate the insight on the finances, you know.
I think here, I'll end it with this. If we're, I feel like we're ending it, but I'll end it with this. When you do go through that, where, you know, if you have, love someone who's going through Alzheimer's, it's definitely hard and sad and all that, but you learn from it and you learn how to get through it. Like the hard parts don't last forever. Like when my mom got violent, I was shocked and I was shocked for a couple of days. And then, you know, you just kind of have to figure out what to do with it. And it's, you do.
So the next time.
Yeah, the next time I was approaching it differently. And so I guess my point is there's a path through it. It just takes some time and it's a path you don't know.
I just thought of one more question and we'll have to wrap it up. But I think one of my fears is how will I know when? That's a fear of mine, my personal fear. You were given direction by a MD, you know, your other...
You need to talk to your daughter. And
no, for my mom.
Oh, for your mom? Has she seen a doctor to kind of get a baseline?
Yeah, at the flea market. Literally.
Okay, great. No, then she's fine.
She's fine. She is really quite. She's not seen a doctor.
That's what we did with Steph's mom. We're like, all right, let's go get a baseline so that a year or two from now, if they can say, oh, wow, you know, it's been a lot of changes. You don't know that unless you start. So you have to try to encourage your mom to establish a baseline with a doctor and see where she's at. And they can kind of go from there.
I have an idea. Would you do
that? Bring her on the show.
Yeah, you do that for me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I'll call her. Give me your number.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Brian, for being on. 50 is a mind.
Fuck.
Yeah. Thank you.